This podcast is a Uniting Heart and Soul production. Hello and welcome back to Filthy Hope, a podcast from Uniting Heart and Soul in Wallara, where we dive into the grey spaces where Jesus, life and culture intersect. I'm your host, Jonty Cornford, Creative Director here at Uniting Heart and Soul. And joining me, of course, is the Reverend Vanessa Williams-Henke, Senior Pastor here at Uniting Heart and Soul. On this week's episode of the show, we're kicking off our series of interviews about art and faith with a discussion between myself and Ness about my life as an artist. There will be links to all the projects that we talk about with our guests in the show notes, so please feel free to go and check out those to support the art that I'm talking about on this episode, but also the art that future guests are going to be talking about on the podcast. As usual, the occasional four-letter word gets thrown around, just in case you don't like hearing those words or if you have kids in the car with you. Enjoy the episode, and I'll see you on the other side. Yes, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, mate?
I'm doing all right.
You excited about today?
Yeah, it's a bit weird for me because I'm usually on the other side of the microscope, so to speak. So.
I'm question girl. Yeah. I'm so excited.
I'm under the microscope today, which will be different for me, fun for me.
Yeah.
So we're looking sort of moving forward. We're going to be interviewing some different people about either artistry,
yep,
or faith in the workplace. So next week I'm going to be talking to you about your career and your career trajectory and that whole story, which is really interesting. But today you're going to be talking to me.
About being an artist.
Yeah, which I guess that's what I am.
You are.
we'll get to that. and we've got some really cool guests lined up that I'm looking forward to
having a chat to. I am pumped about this series. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. But Ness, before we do that,
we've
had a few weeks off.
Yeah.
Let's do Vent Central.
Okay, let's play the music, Johnny. It's my favourite bit.
So what's giving you the shits, Ness?
Oh, man. You know when you go into a business meeting, and usually they send you an agenda for what the topics of discussion are going to be. You receive an agenda and it just says, you know, we're going to do an acknowledgement of country, and then person A is going to speak and then person B is going to speak, but you're not actually in the agenda. There's no room for you to speak, yet you've been called to this meeting.
Yep.
It's all just basically monologuing by people that want me in the room, and they just want to have a monologue with me, and they want to do an acknowledgement of country before they launch into a monologue about their agenda. That gives me the shits.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I've been called into a few meetings where I'm just like, you could have emailed me afterwards. Yeah. Why am I here?
Could we just pick up the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it drives me nuts. So you could probably ask me, what did I do about that? Well, thanks for asking, Jonty.
What did you do about that, Ness?
I just wrote back and I said, love the acknowledgement of country. That sounds like a great way to kick off the meeting. Excellent. We are the Uniting Church. That's a perfect way to start. Very impressive. But what the F's with the monologue, fellas? Are we going to be discussing anything else? Do you need to maybe forward me some documents on other areas of points of interest that you'll be covering? Oh, yeah. Ooh, yep. I can do that. And yep, I received that. And, you know, I did, to the meeting's credit, had an opportunity to monologue back. So it was good. And I think we were all heard, which is wonderful. So it ended up well. Boy, I had shits in the lead up though.
Oh, and I can add to this Vent Central, meetings that could be emails annoy me to no end. Mm. It's like, especially if you have to travel.
Oh yeah, it's just like not what we do these days, is it?
Yes, especially now that you can just jump on Zoom.
So easy.
Waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. No, I feel you.
Play the music. Jonty, thank you for allowing me to interview today on your artistry.
Of course.
Because you're Podman. I think we need a song.
Podman.
Podman. You're the creative director of Uniting Heart and Soul.
Yes.
And in a part of your job description is to curate our podcasts. Mm-hmm. We put forward each week, and you've just done such a beautiful job at that, and you're involved in the music ministry at Uniting Heart and Soul as well, which is phenomenal, and you're getting ready to put an album together.
Yes, which we spoke about last week briefly.
Yeah, Christian album on Uniting Heart and Soul label, which is pretty cool. Loving the graphics that you created for that. But you're more than just that, and I know a bit about your story, but I think everybody else needs to know more about the big JC. And so can I hand over to you and tell us a little bit about you and the projects that you're working on?
Sure. First of all, I do want to, I think like a couple of weeks ago when I mentioned the new podcast that I was doing, I said how I hate self-promotion.
Yeah, I know.
This is like a whole episode of that, so I'm going to be squirming in my seat the whole time. But yes, projects that I'm doing, I think.
And look at you with your arms closed.
I know.
What is that?
I'll be more open.
Look at that. Just shut down.
Yeah. So I think at the moment I'm in a place where I have a bunch of things sort of on the boil. Yeah. But I can take you through them all. So I play guitar in a band called All and South, a punk and hardcore band. I have a sort of pop solo project called Dismantle the Sky, which I write and sing and do production for, and that's all self-produced. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I'm actually launching a podcast in a couple of weeks called the Blue Rose Film Podcast, which through doing this over the last 6 to 8 months, however long we've been doing this for, I was like, oh, yeah, I could do that. I've always wanted to talk about movies online, so I'll just do it. What else do I do? I actually, listeners may not know, I went to university to study literature and always just assumed that I would be a writer because that was one of the few things that I was good at as a kid was I could write a story. And I was very lucky to have had a number of teachers who encouraged me not to cut my stories short. When everyone was handing in like 2 pages, I'd hand in 20.
Wow.
And they wouldn't be finished. And I had a couple of teachers that were like, you need to finish your stories and keep them short. Mm. But I had a couple of teachers that were like, no, keep going. Mm. So, there's a screenplay that I've been drafting and redrafting that I wrote in lockdown last year that I'm really happy with. There's a bunch of short screenplays that I've written that hopefully I'm looking at making with some friends, one of which we may have on the podcast soon. There's a novel that I wrote that will never see the light of day until I go back and rewrite it because I was 18 when I wrote it, and it reads like it was written by an 18-year-old.
Fantastic.
It's pretty shitty. And there's a couple of others that are fully outlined that I just haven't had the time to. Writing a novel is a long, long process.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think like I'm always just sort of looking for stuff to do. I help people do pre-production. So part of what I've had to sort of learn on the fly to do a little bit with work over the last 6 years is audio engineering as well. So I've done, you know, a smattering of stuff as an audio engineer. There was a band that I was in previously that is now sort of morphed and changed into what is now All in South called Mixtape for the Drive.
Mm.
We released a record in 2019. So that, I think that kind of covers a lot of... I've probably forgotten something.
Okay, so now I just want to do a sexy little push here before I ask you about instruments, because you just totally just glossed over that I play guitar. We're coming back to that again. Okay. Play freaking 25 different guitars. We'll go there in a sec. But tell me, how can people find your music, Jonty?
Yeah, well, you can look for any of those things that I mentioned on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, all those things, Triple J, you can, in fact, even better, you can just bother Triple J until they play my music on the radio.
I love that.
That'd be good. So those projects were Dismantle the Sky, All in South, maybe a couple more about to launch soon. But
and hey, we'll put those into the notes.
Yes.
So people can find you, right, with links. Can I ask you, you said, yes, I play guitar. You play more than the guitar, mate, because I've been doing recording with you for some time now and you play, there's not an instrument I don't think you can't play. Do you even play the didge?
No, I did try. I can make a noise, but I can't do circular breathing, something I never got the hang of.
Okay, well, I'm sure you'll work on that and become an expert at it. But, Jonty, you are a classical pianist as well, aren't you?
Yes.
Tell us more about your instrument skills.
Yeah, from kindy, so I was 5 or 6, I was taught piano classically all the way through to, I think I did 8th grade in year 9 or 10.
Mm.
Didn't go further than 8th grade, but ended up doing piano for my HSC as well. So performed for my HSC and got nominated for Encore, which is sort of
the highest accolade.
It's the when you get nominated for Encore, you then are in the running to perform at the Opera House in front of all the other HSC students, basically, and anyone that wants to come. Thank God I didn't actually get asked to perform, because I would have absolutely crapped myself playing piano at the Opera House.
That's hilarious. What would you say to your younger self now
about performing at the Opera House?
Smash that out these days.
I think part of it is in year 11, I went and watched the Encore performances from the year 12s in the year above me.
Mm.
And one of my mentors and piano sort of heroes, one of the teachers there at high school at the time, was accompanying student, I might bleep that out, who was there to perform. And he spoke to me afterwards, because I saw him most days of the week in my time at that school. He's performed everywhere and in front of everyone in front of everything from 2 people to 50,000 people.
Wow.
And the Opera House was the one time that he was nervous. So I think that kind of put the fear of God in me about performing at the Opera House. So I don't really it's one of the things that I kind of regret a little bit, is that I haven't maintained that performance level of piano. So I like, as you well know, I'll just make shit up and make it sound good.
No, mate, you put yourself down when you say that. I watch you. You turn up on Sunday and Rachel will say to you, "Jonty, do you know that song?" And it goes something like this, and you go, "La la 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 la," and then you go, "Oh yeah, something like this," and then you can find the chord arrangement and you can just have that innate ability to be able to create the arrangement, and you've never heard the song before. How do you do that?
Yeah, that is all to do with my classical training and my music theory training, which at the time, as a primary school kid, I hated every second of. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. But it's like learning a language. I think that is the best way of describing it. So like if I spoke French, which I don't, someone came up to me and said, "Oh, you know that French soliloquy in Shakespeare?" I'm making this up. I think it kind of goes like this, something, something, but because I know French and I know Shakespeare, I can just rattle it off. It's wow. a similar thing. That's the best I can describe it. And musicians will be tearing their hair out hearing me butcher this and trying to use layman's terms. But, like, it's as simple as when you know music theory and it's second nature, which I'm very, very lucky that my parents, let's not say bullied me into learning, but... Yeah, I was strongly encouraged not to give it up and didn't all the way through to the end of high school.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Shout out to all the kids out there that are being pressured to keep doing piano or ballet or whatever their artistry is.
There were times where I genuinely hated that I was being forced to play the piano, but I'm incredibly grateful that I stuck with it, and because it, I do think piano and music theory set you up to do anything. Musically.
Look, I watched you firsthand accompany Danielle Lesker from the Australian Opera sing the French national anthem, of which you hadn't heard before.
No.
And you received this crappy chord arrangement for. And I watched you put it together with her on the fly and just... You understood. It's like the two of you were speaking French to one another while I was watching that rehearsal. And... You know, you knew what she meant and she knew what you meant, and it came together to be one of the most magnificent performances that I have seen in a really long time.
Oh, wow.
Posy Airs. It was exceptional to have her artistry in our church that day and to have your artistry accompanying her as a member of our community. It was just, it was next level, mate.
Well, that's great, because I got to tell you, that was incredibly nerve-wracking.
I remember you were shitting yourself.
Yeah.
It was pretty full on, hey.
Yeah, yeah. Not fun.
So you play all sorts of different guitars too, don't you, Jonty? You can play the lot.
Yeah, well, and so I was classically trained in piano. I am almost entirely self-taught on guitar. I picked up dad's guitar when I was about 10, I think. When I was 15, I quit the trumpet and started playing guitar in the jazz band at school. So that was when I had a handful of lessons at, like, band intensive days when I was actually part of the school band for guitar instead of trumpet. But that's it. And so when I say this is something I'm working on, trying to cut out the negative downplaying of things that I do. But yeah, I entirely self-taught. I can make it seem like I can play the guitar. I can play the bass guitar. There's a resonator guitar that I have at home that I love playing, which is like that real bluesy folk
Keith Urban style
guitar, which I love, 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 love. Yeah, I think... My for guitar nerds, my current thing that I love is I have a baritone guitar and a 7-string guitar, which are both for, like, super low-tuned, heavy. In fact, Vent Central, the theme music is recorded on my baritone.
Yeah, wow.
Which I think is in drop A tuning.
And you wrote that piece for us, didn't you?
Yes. So that's actually... probably going to be a song for All in South, the hardcore band that I play.
And it goes like this. Doesn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, you could put them next to each other. I couldn't tell the difference.
So gifted. Oh, Jonty. So you're gifted up the wazoo. You're incredibly creative. You are... you're a bit of a savant in the music writing creative sphere. You're... completely jealous making. Can I ask you, are there any artists who have particularly influenced you and your craft along the way?
Yes. I mentioned a band called Under Oath in a previous episode. But there's a member of Under Oath that is incredibly inspiring to me. His name's Chris Dudley and he plays keyboards for Under Oath. But he's also a film composer. And just decided one day that that's what he wanted to do, so he went out and did it. So if people saw the Orphan prequel movie that was in cinemas not long ago, he scored that movie. So from like a... I think more so than the music itself, I think just more as like a someone that I look at as an example of those two worlds can coexist, and like you don't need to just be, he's not the Under Oath guy anymore, which he kind of was for a little while. He's which when you're in a band, that happens. You're the guy from that band, but he's now gone on and made this long career out of it in other spaces as well, which I find really inspiring, because I think something that and we might get to this later as we talk about process, but like I often will get halfway through something and then get itchy feet and want to go do something else.
Interesting.
And so I think having the freedom to do that, I find that really inspiring. I remember reading Less Than Zero by Bret Easton Ellis for the first time at uni in first year, and going, holy shit, you can write, you're allowed to write books like this.
Can you tell us about the book?
Yeah, well, so Bret Easton Ellis, people probably know him as American Psycho, which was turned into a film with Christian Bale. He wrote American Psycho, the novel. So he's probably most well known for that. But his first novel, I think he was like 20 or 21 as well when he wrote it, is this... I still can't quite put my finger on what it is about it that I love so much, but I think there's this deep cynicism and black humour in the not just in the characterization and the dialogue, but in the way that the book itself is written, and the sentence structure is so cynical and like just blackly humorous that I remember reading, because I'd grown up on Harry Potter and then moved on to things like Hemingway and Fitzgerald, and like Gatsby is one of my favorite novels, and so like the classical American literature style of fiction, but then picking this up and going, oh my goodness, this is rock and roll.
This
to me, like, this is a thing.
Yeah.
And so I think I mentioned that first novel that I wrote. That was me trying to rewrite Less Than Zero, I think, when I look back at it now. So Bret Easton Ellis and that book are another really, really big. In fact, I actually, there's a song called All I Want that I released as Dismantle the Sky that actually takes lines from American Psycho that are in the lyrics. So that's a big one as well, yeah.
It sounds like I can really relate to that, because I studied Shaketi Ballet from when I was a very little girl, and for 19 years, and all I ever wanted to be was a ballerina. And then I got a handle of musical theatre and tap dancing. And for me, American Psycho, tap dancing was like that for me, and jazz, to be able to leave the confines of the classical ballet and move into musical theatre and tap. I was just like, oh, yes.
So funny you say that. My partner and I actually went and saw the American Psycho musical, which was unbelievable. It was so cool. But that's a story for another time.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
Can I ask you, Jonty, what would you say is the best lesson or piece of advice that you have learned from somebody that you admire?
I think there are a couple. One that I needed to learn was, no representation is better than misrepresentation. And what I mean by that is, when you look at, I'm trying to think of an example, someone like Stanley Kubrick, he only released like 5 movies in the last 20, 30 years. I'm making this up, but like if you look at from 1980 through to almost 1999, he only released The Shining, Full Metal Jacket, and Eyes Wide Shut, I think. And people go, why don't you make more art? Why don't you make more? Like, what? Why are you making so little? And it's not that there is a lack of inspiration or desire to make stuff, but it's more of this, like, I think this is an extreme example, but it is better to wait and put something out, put something out that you feel really strongly about, than put something out that in 6 months' time, you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that.
Just like cookie cutter it and push it out.
Yeah. I used to use the name Dismantle the Sky to put up like these really shitty, I'd just started discovering what GarageBand was. Yeah. And so I'd click and drag loops and make songs that way, and I'd put them up on YouTube. I've deleted them, so you can't go find them. And then that sort of changed to I would just improvise on my guitar for hours and hours and hours and hours, and just record it and then cut it up and put it out as music. And like I think that's valuable, but I don't think that's something that you need to package and release as finished music, which at the time I was just like, oh, it's just kind of cool and I'll put it out. But now I kind of go, well, you know, and another person would say, well, we'll just use a different name for what you're doing now and leave that as its own thing. But I loved the name, so I was like, well, I'll do that and then delete all the other stuff. Yeah.
Amazing. I don't know if
that answered the question.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted, because we're a Jesus bunch.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you this because I think it's fascinating because I'm throwing you under the bus now, but I think at the end of this podcast today, could we please attach that most fantastic song you rewrote, the famous Christmas song, the punk Christmas song?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I was trying to, yeah.
And I think that needs to go on, if you're willing to.
Sure. No, I'm happy to.
Because I think that that is a perfect example of some of the creative stuff that you can do in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Do you want to talk to that a little bit before I ask the next question?
Sure. I think that song specifically, or more of the like the where faith interacts with it, because
let's go there. Let's talk about where your faith actually connects with your creativity.
Yeah, so that was an interesting one. This is no surprise to listeners that have paid attention, but like I love super dark heavy
music.
I'm also into horror movies. I love transgressive fiction. Like, the more fucked up, the better.
Oh, you freak me out, man.
And part of that is actually more to do with I'm interested in pushing to find the edge of where a medium can work.
Yep.
So, like, for example, there's a band that I love that's called Nails. I may have worn a Nails shirt on one of these podcasts for people that are watching. I don't remember. It's quite likely. Like, 45 seconds of noise, basically, to the uninitiated in a song. And to a lot of people, that's unlistenable. To me, it's like incredible artistry to take chaos and noise and violence and package it into this piece of art. There's this whole subgenre called noise music, and danger music is a whole other thing, which is just all about pushing the medium to its extreme. So I think when I think about black metal and death metal and all of those things, that part of the thing for me is like enjoying how exciting and dangerous it feels a lot of the time. Which we'll hear at the end of this episode, when I put together a cover of A Come, O Come, Emmanuel, the carol, which is one of my favourite Christmas songs.
Classic Christmas song.
Really beautiful, but turned it into a black metal song. I had been told my whole life by lots of different people that stuff was bad. And I'm sure you've heard the, like, oh, well, metal music's inviting the devil into your life and it's satanic and, like, bullshit like that is just ridiculous. So I think that song was actually a really, I think, more meaningful for me than I gave it credit for at the time, in like merging those two things into something that was a genuine, because this was at Christmas of 2020. I was not in a good place at that point, because for a whole bunch of reasons, but we'd all just had a year of COVID. And you'll hear it at the end. It's not a happy song. It's not a happy song anyway. When you hear those lyrics just in its traditional format, it's not a happy song anyway. So I think for me, it's really important that I don't separate that from my faith, because my understanding of who Christ is someone who is no longer hidden in the clouds separate, but is someone that was present amongst earthly pain and suffering. And so to separate faith from art that might be a little bit edgy or like doesn't have the edges sanded off, I think is really important for me to do that. And like at the end of the day, as a Christian, I do believe that God is inherently creative, and any creativity that we do or don't have comes from the source of all creativity being Creator God, who birthed all of existence in the first place. A lot of the time I don't think about it though. So I think I'd be lying if I said, like, I'm not a quote-unquote Christian artist in the same way that, like, Hillsong Uniting is a Christian artist. But I think it's of course it influences me because it influences everything.
Well, you're an artist who's a Christian. I mean, you're working in an artistic, creative space for the church.
Mm.
You're doing that with me. I get to watch what you do every day and to be rub up against that every day. And I think that's what makes you so exceptional, is that you have these edges that you bring into your faith and in and through everything that we do, which makes it a really sexy and fun space to work in. Mm. Because you're not vanilla.
Fuck that.
No, you're not vanilla.
Boring.
Yeah, that's right. You're all the bits, Jonty. You've got crunchy bits in there. You've got bits of M&M crunched up in there. Love the metaphor. You've got spicy bits. You've got a bit of hot chili in there as well. And I'll never forget when your father came up to me after an event that I was at in the Uniting Church and said, "Ness, you need to meet my son." And I said, "I'd love to meet your son." I didn't know the context. And then the next thing he does is thrusts his phone in my face and says, "This is my son." And it was O Come, Emmanuel in this punk style rock. And I just went, I said to your dad, I said, "Dave, I need to know that kid. I need to know that kid. That is just rock solid sensational." And that's how it started. So it was brave of you to do that. And I think the church at the time, you were they used that at Christmas time?
Yeah, well, that was the other thing, is that was instead of what our normal carol service, which we would gather everyone together and sing carols, because of COVID, we decided to invite people to record their interpretation of different carols. So we had a bunch of people from our church, but we also had some people from other churches submit some things, which was really great. And it was sort of like an online event. We live streamed it.
Love it.
And my minister, Phil, joked to me, because he hates metal, as I think you do as well.
If it's not Bridgerton and it's not bloody Downton Abbey, mate, it's not on my radar.
He's like, "Oh, you could do like a metal version of a carol." And I was like,
"Whoa,
I will. Do you mean that?" And he said, "Yeah, do it." And I'm not sure if he expected me to actually go and do it. But yeah, so we were sitting in church watching people's interpretations of carols, and then what you'll hear at the end of the podcast came on. And I remember there were two kids, two brothers who were there with their mum, who I was leading at youth group at the time. And they were, I think, 7 and 9 at the time. Both jaws just hit the ground and turned around and was just staring at me, trying to, I think, make the connection between the nice, friendly youth worker at Time Out Ironing and the demonic shrieking coming out of my mouth on the
about
screen.
Jesus. Shrieking.
Oh, come Emmanuel. Yeah. That's right.
It's just so cool. Oh, I love it. Jonty, is there a final product that you've created with your magnificent artistry that you're absolutely proud of?
I think the song I mentioned earlier, "All I Want," is one that I'm particularly proud of, because I always have struggled to finish songs, particularly. I'm really strong at arranging and tracking and producing, but melodies and hooks and finishing the thing and writing, you'd think as a writer, lyrics would be really easy for me, but writing lyrics is my least favorite part, because I think it scares me. I can get my point across in 100,000 words in a novel, but in 3 minutes, it's really difficult. But this song, "All I Want," came out of the June to October 2021 lockdown.
Yep.
And I think I wrote the whole song in like a day, and it just sort of like came out, which almost never happens for me. But as a pop song, it's catchy.
Yep.
And I think just the purity of storytelling that I was able to do with that, and like I listen to it now and it's like something that I would listen to, as well as being proud that it's something that I came up with by myself and saw through to the very end. I'm pretty proud of that one. And I think it's the most successful song for that project at the moment. So,
so could we do a link for that as well?
For sure.
Yeah, that's yeah. amazing. So, Jonty, what do you want our listeners to go and check out?
Yeah, well, Dismantle the Sky is the project that I'm probably most looking, like putting most effort into at the moment. So again, that I'll link that below. There's a bunch of music that hopefully will be out by the end of the year, but again, because it's all self-produced and I do the mix and then send it off to get mastered, that takes a long time. And so,
and you're already working full-time.
Well, that's it. I'm working full-time and
it's like your side hustle, isn't it? Your private stuff.
Yeah. I showed you how much money I've made from that project.
Yeah, you are rolling in it, brother.
It's like two coffees. yeah, so check that out. I think by the time this comes out, the first episode of the Blue Rose Film Podcast will be a couple of weeks away. Be talking about The Shining, which I'm very excited to talk about.
Yeah, I'm excited to listen to that.
My band All and South, again, which I'll link, we have a bunch of music out, but we have more music coming. We're just trying to, we've had some member changes and our first show has been cancelled 4 or 5 times now. So we still haven't actually played a show together because of, there was COVID, there was an injury to another band's drummer or something. Yep. Yeah, and I think, I should mention this before. I have a short story collection available on Kindle.
Of course you do.
So just Google Jonty Cornford. The collection is called Where Lies the Strangling Fruit, and it is a collection of my short stories that I wrote at uni. And getting the rights back from UTS to release my own work was a pain in the ass, but we got there. So if you want to shout me a coffee, you can go read some short stories on Kindle. I'll link that as well.
Oh man, yeah. You're just too gifted. God's given you an abundance, it seems, of gift. And I get that there's training that goes into nurturing that gift, and how wonderful your mum and dad are for encouraging you. I'm so glad that they pressured you to keep learning.
Yeah. And I guess if I am good at anything that I do, it's because I was determined not to be shit at it. And I actually have on my pedal board, I have written, "Don't be shit." And on my mic that's in my office that I record the intros and outros to this podcast on, it says, "Don't be shit."
Yeah.
And that was actually a cricket coach of mine. His one of his mantras to us at the time was just, "Don't be shit." And I think that there's a brutality that I really like, that I think has instilled in me this, you need to just go and do it yourself.
Yeah.
And just make sure, best. Don't be shit. Yeah,
be the best you can be at what you do.
Go and learn. Yeah.
And you know what? I work with you every day and you are that. You epitomise class and ethics and creativity, and I know you're hating me say all these things. You're nearly like dying in a corner right now. And you just forever just blow my brain when I see what you can do. Even just do the simple stuff that I know you think simple, but for me – I'm not a musical artist. I mean, I had a career singing professionally there for a while when I was acting, but never very good at it, but enough to, you know, pay some bills. But I see what you do and I see how you put things together, even just for church outside what we've just been discussing today, just which is a minor part of your commitment to your job description. And I've said it to you each week. We get up there together and we do church on a Sunday, and I do my component and I tell you about what I'm planning to speak about, and then you can come together to find the perfect lyrics and music that join the liturgy of what we've done on the morning to create this really beautiful, wholesome Jesus experience. And can I tell you, that's a gift, mate. You make me look so good on a Sunday. Just saying.
That's my job.
You really do. I just go, yeah, that's my guy, Jonty Cornford. He's my dude. Honestly, you and Rachel make me look really, really stellar. And I'm just so grateful to be on team with you and have you as my senior pastor.
We joke about that, but I'm coming for your job, Ness. No, absolutely not. There is no way I'm becoming a minister.
Yeah,
that's another story.
You heard it here first, folks. I just want to say thank you for your honesty and your creativity and the gift and sharing your information with us today and sharing about who you are, because the world is a better place, Jonty Cornford, for you being in it.
Well, thanks for letting me be uncomfortable and answer through gritted teeth.
You did really well, brother. Now, yes, it's time for Grititude. Got, brother?
Well, this is actually different to what we were saying off mic when we were deciding what we're going to talk about. It's a bittersweet gratitude, and I actually thought of this because of something we were talking about earlier in this podcast. I went to, in year 5 and 6, our time in public for the opportunity class, is what it's called.
You mean the brainy children?
Yeah, special school is what we used to get bullied by other Ataman kids. You go off to special school.
Oh.
Which is, yeah, not okay. I refer you to our episode about language, about the use of the word special in that context. So a lot of what we were talking about today and sort of like the person that I am in terms of what I value in writing and reading and creativity and all of those things. I had this teacher who passed away 4 weeks ago, I think, we were his last class before he retired. He was, I think, in his late 50s, early 60s. Mm. His name was Peter Vader, spelt W-E-Y-D-E. So I think he was Dutch. But you can imagine when he walks up to announce something at assembly, everyone starts singing the Darth Vader theme.
Of course, I was thinking that.
Yeah. So I got news from mum. Another parent of my class rang her a few weeks ago and said that he passed away. And I was just thinking about a lot of what I take for granted in sort of like what I value in life was given to me by him. And we had our own library just for the OC class.
Wow.
While other kids were reading Harry Potter, he was handing me very adult books going, I think you're ready to read this one. Wow. Which I think from a very, very young age gave me that real desire to keep finding new and exciting things in art. We would put together a quarterly, let's call it a magazine, where every person in the class had to submit something. And then he would print out however many copies of each page, have a pile of each page around the classroom, and at the end of each term the day was pretty much dedicated to, we would walk around the classroom picking up each page and then we'd staple it together and we'd have these bodies of work. And I've stuck there at mum and dad somewhere. But that was, for me, each term I had this, you have a chance to submit a story. And he didn't say it can't be too long, or he didn't say it can't be too weird and dark. He was just like, yeah, do it. Make it weirder.
Wow.
So I actually went back and read one of the stories that I wrote. It was in year 6, so I was like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Super dark and super weird. And I kind of wonder what was going on in that 11-year-old's head at the time. I was just like sort of reflecting on the impact that he had at a very young age.
Go, so, Mr. Vader.
Yeah, absolute legend.
May you rest peacefully, brother.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, too many diaries, I think, is
the... Do you think so?
Yeah. I remember getting a paper back and it had ash on it and I was like, yeah, cool. Thanks.
Oh, great story. Thanks for sharing, Jonty.
Yeah, of course. Happy to. I think that does us for this week. So next week, tables will be turned and I'll be talking to you about work stuff.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward
but
to that.
But not church work.
No.
My life before.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to you and a bunch of other people as the year goes on about the workplace and how faith does or doesn't interact with that. So I'm really excited to talk to you about that.
Some hilarious stories.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So yeah, we'll see you next week when we do that.
Can't wait. I'm Ness.
And I'm Jonty. And this was Filthy Hope. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, you can support us by leaving a 5-star review, liking and commenting, or even just sharing it with a friend. You can find us on socials, or you can get in touch directly by emailing us at filthyhopepod@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners, and you can interact with us even more by joining our private discussion group on Facebook. That is linked down below in the show notes. To send us out this week, as promised, please enjoy my arrangement of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We'll see you next week, and remember, take Jesus seriously, and don't be a dick.
God forgive us.